The following is a recording from Sunday morning worship at Faith Presbyterian Church in Covington, Louisiana. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you join us any Sunday at 11 a.m. for worship. For more details, check out faithpreschurch.org.
God's word this morning comes from the book 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Bible makes objective truth claims. It says exclusive things that draw a hard line in the dirt. The Bible calls out sin. The Bible defines what is right. In a sense, the Bible constrains us. It restrains us. It tells us what we need to do. And you know what we don't like? That. Human beings left to themselves don't like being told what to do. They don't like being restrained. We want to be independent, right? We don't like that. Likewise, the world and the system of the world doesn't like that. And I don't mean the world of 2025. The unbelieving world has never appreciated what the Bible says. To believe the Bible, to aim to live according to it, necessarily goes against the grain of the world. It necessarily goes against the grain of our flesh. And as a result, there will always be a pressure on Christians and on the church to abandon the Bible or to ignore parts of it. There is active pressure on you, Christian, as an individual, to ignore the Bible. Yes, from outside of you, but also from in your flesh. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy. Timothy's the young pastor of the church in Ephesus, Turkey. Paul's about to die. He knows he's about to die. And so he's getting in the last few things that Timothy needs to know. And what was happening in Ephesus then is what's happening in Covington today. Christians were walking away from the clear teachings of the Bible. There was pressure to abandon the Bible, to ignore parts of the Bible. And so Paul tells Timothy, don't let that happen to you. Stick to the Bible. At FPC, we want to do the same thing. We want to stick to the Bible, even when there's pressure externally and internally to abandon it. When you talk to people who moved here and joined our church or came here from another church, one of the things that we regularly hear from people is, man, y'all read the Bible a lot. You preach through long chunks of scripture. You guys really like the Bible. It's intentional. Our church's first core distinctive, in fact, is this: keep the Bible central. We put it on paper. We want it to be true of us. So as this summer, we're kind of going through our mission and vision statement. We're going through our core distinctives. And as we contemplate this core distinctive this morning, I want to answer two questions. First, why? Why keep the Bible central at FPC? And then secondly, what will it look like if we do keep the Bible central to our lives and to our church life? What is that in invitation to you and to me to do? So why keep the Bible central? And then second, how do we do it? So let's start with that first question. Why keep the Bible central? Well, first, we keep the Bible central because it's consistent. That may not be the first reason you would give, but that's the first reason I see in our text. So as Paul encourages Timothy to stick with the Bible, he tells Timothy to think back on his childhood. Look at verse 14 again with me. Chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Paul tells Timothy, remember, Timothy, your childhood. How did it start? You learned the Bible first, and then you became firmly convinced of it. So Timothy's faith in the Bible was not some kind of flimsy thing. It was firm. He grew up hearing the Bible, he grew up learning the Bible, and over time he became convinced that the Bible was true. He believed it firmly. But Paul goes on, look at verses 14 into verse 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, Timothy, you knew from childhood these sacred writings. What are the sacred writings that Timothy would have known from childhood? Anybody know? You can guess? That's right. Thank you, Miss Amy, one of our Sunday school teachers, one of our Bible teachers. It was the Old Testament. Timothy grew up reading the Old Testament, and what does Paul say that the Old Testament was good for? Verse 15, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I thought the New Testament was about Jesus. I thought the New Testament is the half of the Bible that tells you salvation is available through faith in Christ Jesus. And yet, Paul says, Timothy, this Old Testament that you were reading as a child that was being taught to you, that you firmly believed, it made you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prepared Timothy to believe in Jesus. The Old Testament, we're talking about the consistency of the Bible, the Old Testament prepares its readers to believe in Jesus. And then where do you learn about Jesus? In the New Testament. So what does the Old Testament tell us? The Old Testament tells us where we came from. It tells us what God is like, and it tells how we fell into ruin. The Old Testament shows us over and over and over and over and over how we can't fix ourselves and we can't fix our world. And the more you read it, the more you realize it's talking about me. It's talking about you. These people that are such a wreck in the Old Testament, that's teaching us about ourselves. We are broken and undone. We are spiritually dead, destined for death. That message builds through the Old Testament. The tension grows, showing ever more clearly our lost estate. And when it reaches a fever pitch, who can save us from this body of death? Then Jesus enters the picture. But he doesn't come out of nowhere. The Old Testament is full of promises that point forward to his coming, types and pictures that point forward to his coming, and some of them are so astonishingly clear and plainly stated, it's consistent. And while Jesus fulfills and completes the Old Testament, that doesn't render the Old Testament useless to us. Paul says that the Old Testament makes us wise for salvation. So do you want to understand how deep your sin problem goes? You got to read the Old Testament. You want to understand how futile your works are to save you? You got to read the Old Testament. You want to see how we ought to live? You want to see to what Jesus restores us? Read the law in the Old Testament. All of these things in the Old Testament are immensely relevant for us today. And truly, the New Testament is best understood in light of the Old Testament. Like the book of Revelation, people talk, it's really hard to understand. This imagery is so weird. All that says is you hadn't read Daniel or Ezekiel, because that imagery is all reruns. The New Testament makes sense in light of the Old Testament. And what you find is that the Bible is not one work in two parts, the Old and New Testament. It's actually one work in 66 parts. There's 66 books in the Bible, and you can see them listed on the front of your worship guide. I put a little I don't know what they call those, but a little word thing. There's all your books of the Bible. And what's wild is with all these different authors spread over 1,500 years, it still tells one consistent, cohesive story. I, like Timothy, believe the Bible because of its consistency. Its truth is self-evident as you read it, because despite there being all these authors over all this time and all these books, it presents the problem of sin and death. It shows the character of a forgiving God, and it shows the solution in Jesus Christ. The consistency of the Bible's message argues for its truth. Timothy learned the Bible. He firmly believed it. So Paul says, don't depart from it. Don't depart from it. So this is the first reason that we keep the Bible central here at FPC. It's consistent. It tells one story all about Jesus and how you can be saved from sin and death and be given the life that God created you for. But it leads to the second reason why we keep the Bible central at FPC. We keep the Bible central because it's inspired. So yes, there were multiple human authors, but God inspired all of those authors to write. Listen to how Paul describes this at the beginning of verse 16. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. What does Paul mean when he says that God breathed out Scripture? Well, first, he means that God superintended the writing of all Scripture so that it says exactly what he wanted it to say. It is God's word. He spoke it. So he oversaw the process so that he could ensure that when it's read, it is his word. Now, a careful reader, like Amy, will point out, wait a second, the New Testament wasn't written yet. When Paul said this, the New Testament was still in development. So is this saying that only the Old Testament is inspired? Paul says all Scripture is breathed out by God. And when you look at how Paul and the apostles talked about their own writings, and when they talked about the writings of other apostles, do you know what they called it? Scripture. The apostles saw themselves as continuing the tradition and the work of the prophets before them. They referred to their own writings as Scripture. So while Paul does mean the Old Testament here, he is also implying that the Gospels that were being written and the apostolic letters that were being written, that they were inspired too. And all of that work was a fulfillment of a promise that Jesus made in John 14. I preached on this a few months back, but Jesus told his disciples, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal truth to you, and he will help you to remember everything that I taught you. Does anyone happen to know the Greek word or the Hebrew word for spirit? Pneuma, that's the Greek word. Anybody know the Hebrew word? I don't think you know it, son. No, that's soul. Good try, though. It's ruach. Regardless, both words can be translated as spirit or breath. It is the Holy Spirit who breathed into the apostles and the prophets, showed them what to write so that it was God's word. So it was penned by human authors, guided by the Holy Spirit, and as the Holy Spirit led them to write, it was the very word of God. So that's the first thing that Paul means when he says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's all God's word. It's given by the Holy Spirit, superintended by the Holy Spirit. When you hear it, it is God speaking. But when God speaks, big stuff happens, right? Big stuff like he speaks and suddenly there was nothing and then there was everything. He speaks and there's light. He speaks and there's plants. He speaks and there's animals. He speaks and there's people. God's word is powerful. When God speaks, it accomplishes his purposes, and that includes the words of Scripture. So it is a powerful word because it is God-breathed. The prophet Isaiah put it this way, For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. When God speaks, things happen. When people read the Bible, things happen. This is why Paul said this. Look again at verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. Why is the Bible profitable? Not because it's got some neat ideas in there. Not because it's got some cool truths in there. The Bible is profitable because God spoke it. And when God speaks, his word has an effect. And that immediately urges us on to the next reason we want to keep the Bible central here at FPC. We keep the Bible central because it's transformative. Do you want God to transform you? Do you want him to complete the work that he has begun in you? Then you must attend to the reading of God's word. You must put yourself under the preaching of God's word. You have to attend to the Bible. God's word is like rain. It makes growth happen. It makes change happen. It's transformative. God breathed the scriptures with the intent that Christians would be changed by it. The goal of the Bible is not trivia, it's transformation. It's not about building up your knowledge and intellect. It is about remaking you to be like Jesus. Look again at verses 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So first, it's profitable for teaching. We've already seen that Timothy had to learn it. If you're not learning Scripture, these other things aren't going to happen. But as we learn Scripture, three other things happen. First, oh, did I skip ahead or something? I did skip ahead. God wants you to hear and learn the Scriptures. I think I said that pretty clearly already, but you can fill in your blanks there, because I know if you don't get them now, I'm going to get a text this afternoon. I missed some blanks. So God wants us to hear and learn the scriptures. Timothy learned the scriptures. You need to learn the scriptures. Then, okay, as we learn scripture, first, it exposes where we're wrong. That's what he means by reproof. Then he shows us what's right and true. That's what Paul means by correction. And then God shapes our lives accordingly. He trains us for righteousness. I don't know about y'all, but I like to be right. I don't care to be corrected. So is this process of being shown where I'm wrong, being shown what's right and true, and then being shaped, it's not always pleasant. But that's not the point of following Jesus. The goal of what we're doing together as a church, the goal is your completion in Christ, that you would be the person he's made you to be so that you can live with his glory and spread his glory so that others might be completed and filled with his glory. And he does this through scripture. He grows us up. He recreates, redirects, and guides us with the Bible. So every time you hear the Bible, you can expect these three things to be happening, because when God speaks, big things happen. Now, Paul's making this point very doctrinally, very theologically, talking about inspiration and that sort of thing. But he's already made the point personally and practically earlier in our text, and I skipped over it. So we're going to go back to verse 14. Paul says to Timothy, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." Who taught Timothy the scriptures? It was his mom, named Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Paul mentioned them earlier in this letter. But here in verse 14, he tells Timothy, you learned Scripture, and you knew the people who taught you Scripture. What's Paul's point? Timothy knew those women deeply, and he knew their character. He knew how they had been shaped by the scriptures that they were teaching him. So Paul says, Timothy, look at the character of your mother. Look at the character of your grandmother. They not only taught you the scripture, they themselves were shaped by the scripture. Look at the transformation of their lives and see evidence that the Bible is God-breathed and profitable. What God did in their lives, Timothy, he wants to do in your life through the scriptures. Now, we've all known of and perhaps had Bible teachers who failed us. People who taught us and then hurt us or even walked away from Jesus. That's a tragedy and a shame. God forbid that ever happen here at Faith Presbyterian Church. Other scriptures speak to that sad reality. But this text speaks to something more hopeful and something that we want to be true here. It speaks to those Bible teachers we've had in our lives as mentors and disciple makers that we still admire. That when we look at them, we see God's transforming work in them. Do you want to be like them? Do you want to grow into their wisdom and love and practical holiness? Do you want to grow to be like them? Then stick to the scriptures that they taught you. Don't abandon or forget what they taught you, even though there's pressure to do it. But beyond your mentors, beyond your teachers, I'd encourage you, Christian, to even look at yourself. If you'd follow Jesus for really any time, you can probably see a change in yourself because the scriptures had also affected Timothy. Look again at verse 15. Paul says, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The word wise is a loaded term in the Bible. The Old Testament talks about wisdom and foolishness a lot. There's two different ways you can live your life. You can live the wise way or you can live the foolish way. And the fool's way of life is one of selfishness and pleasure and violence that leads to destruction. The wise path is one of virtue and holiness, of knowing God, and it leads to life. So when Paul says that the Old Testament has made you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus, he's saying something additional here. What is it? When Timothy believed in Jesus, it changed his life. He went from being a fool to being wise. The character that once belonged to his Bible teachers began to come to life in him. So Paul says, look to your forebears who taught you, but also, Timothy, look at yourself. Do you see the transformation that the Holy Spirit has wrought in you through the scriptures? Remember that and do not give up on the Bible. So you, Christian, do you want to be transformed? Do you want to be complete? Do you want to shake free of the sins that plague you, the doubts and the temptations that haunt you? Do you want to leave that behind and to live in the way of Jesus? Do you want to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you want to love your neighbor as yourself? If you do, attend to the scriptures. God will change you through them. Now, last Sunday, we looked at our church mission statement. And what is it? We exist to invest our time, gifts, and resources in people as the Spirit directs so that Christ's kingdom spreads near and far. Go back and listen to the sermon. You can hear more about it. We have our whole like mission and vision statement and core values out there. We adopted this back in 2019. We almost never talk about it in here. I look at it every Monday, kind of a plumb line and a standard for everything we're doing. But if this is why we're here, we're here to invest in each other in our pursuit of the kingdom of God. If we're doing that, what must we then do? We have to keep scripture central. If you're going to be transformed, if you're going to play your part in God's work in the world, in our mutual ministry, we must be a Bible people. So this point is definitely a flashback to last week. If you weren't here, I'm not going to re-preach it. If we want our lips and lives to be transformed so that God's glory spreads through us, Our church must be grounded in the Bible. If we want to talk like Jesus and we want to live like Jesus, we have to be a Bible people. There's really no option. So that's why. That's why we keep the Bible central. We keep it central because it's consistent, it's inspired, and it's transformative. It's consistent because it's inspired, and because it's inspired, it transforms us, and we want to be a people transformed to live with the glory of God. So that's why. So what do we do with that then? How are we to embody the centrality of the Bible to our church's life? Well, as church members committed to each other's growth, we encourage each other to do three things: learn the Bible, live by the Bible, and teach the Bible. Every one of us, we need to learn the Bible, live by the Bible, and teach the Bible. This is the pattern we see in our text. Timothy learned the Bible, he was transformed by it, and then as a pastor, he taught it to others. We want to continue this same pattern. So first, each of us must learn Scripture. So here's a question for you to contemplate. Where are you in this lifelong pursuit of learning the Scriptures? We always have room to learn. We never stop. You can continue to go back and read God's Word over and over and over, and He will continue to speak. So where are you in the learning process? Maybe you've never started. You've never read the Bible before. Maybe you kind of stalled out. Each of us must prioritize our own growth in learning the Bible. Well, how can you do that? I'm going to give you like the really low-hanging fruit, the absolute easiest thing you can do. Start by coming to church every Sunday. You're going to hear the Word here. Then, here's another really low-hanging fruit. Prioritize coming to Sunday school or a Bible study. You put your kids in there, you go to one of the adult classes, and you're going to grow. You're going to hear God's Word. So that's like really, really, really low-hanging fruit, because we try not to preach too long, and Sunday school has to end because church is starting, right? The workload is low. But as another simple step, read the Bible. You can do it by yourself. You can do it with a friend. You can do it with a family member. You can do it, as I said, like in a Bible study. But what happens when we are continually exposing ourselves to Scripture? God changes our life through it. Scripture makes us complete. It equips us for the things that God aims to accomplish in and through us. So we learn Scripture so that we will then live by Scripture. So here's another question to contemplate. Is your whole life informed by Scripture? Scripture makes us complete. It equips us for every good work. It trains us for righteousness. There's no area of your life that doesn't need the glory of God and righteousness. So yes, maybe Scripture doesn't teach you how to be a plumber, Carl, right? It's not going to teach you how to be a plumber. Todd, it's not going to teach you how to be a salesman. Melissa, it's not going to teach you how to be a doctor. Meg is not going to teach you how to be a teacher. But it's going to show you how to love people well. It's going to show you how to glorify God in all that you do. It equips you to be like Jesus wherever He has placed you. So as we read Scripture, God aims to bring all of our life into submission to His purposes. God aims to transform us so that all of life is for His glory. So when you look at your life and you see sin overshadowing God's glory and purposes, what do you need? You need Scripture. Let it correct you, redirect you, and shape you. Put your life, all of your life, under the microscope of the Scriptures, and let yourself be challenged to live in the way of Christ. But even as that is going on, don't neglect to teach Scripture. So here's a final question to consider. How can you pass on to others what you've learned of Scripture? You think Timothy's mom and grandmother waited until they were perfect and they had everything figured out about the Bible before they taught him Scripture? Not a chance. Because learning is a lifelong process. And on the day you die, you're still not going to have the Bible fully figured out. Me neither. And for the record, none of us knows how much time we have. So whatever you know of Scripture, pass it on now. If you have learned anything of Jesus that has changed your life, pass it on, especially people like Timothy under Eunice and Lois's care. If you have people under your authority or under your care, I'm talking kids and grandkids, maybe employees, you have a special calling to pass on what you've learned of the Bible to them. So constantly be teaching the Scriptures. Jesus didn't need a classroom. He was very rarely in a classroom. He was teaching it on the road. We read it earlier. Everywhere you go, be teaching the good news of Christ. Pass on what you've learned of God's Word so that others might be shaped by it as well. Now, granted, I'd lose my job if I didn't also say we do need some teachers in Sunday school. So if you felt a sense of call to care for the little ones and to pass on what you've learned, we'd love to have you. So let Brittany know, please. We would really appreciate that. But I'm also talking about informal times of teaching as well. Always be looking for a chance to pass on what you've learned of Scripture. At FPC, we aim to keep Scripture central because it's consistent, inspired, and transformative. Therefore, I invite you to learn it, to live by it, and to teach it to others. So as you examine your life, as you consider these questions, how do you need to be learning the Bible? How do you need to be passing it on? What parts of your life need to be better informed by the Bible? The Bible's consistent, inspired, and transformative, so don't neglect it. We want to be a church that keeps Scripture central so that we're transformed and live with the glory of God. And that starts with you. So commit yourself to the Scriptures. Learn the Bible, live by the Bible, and pass it on to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the ministry of Paul to Timothy. We thank you for Timothy's ministry to the church in Ephesus. We thank you for the teachers we have had who taught the Scriptures to us so that we might be shaped by it. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl here in this place, in this church, and all who are listening to this recording afterwards, that you would make us wise for salvation through Jesus Christ, that we would not simply trust Christ, but that we'd be transformed to be like him because we have attended to your word. Lord, may we not buckle under the pressure of the world and the flesh to give up on the Scriptures, but may we keep it central to our lives, may we keep it central to our community, that we would shine with the glory of Jesus. This we pray in his name. Amen.